In the name of Jesus Christ, strengthen us with might by your spirit in the inner man, and let the least among us be as strong as David. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, you may be seated. God bless you. He's mighty on the throne. He's mighty on the throne. He's mighty on the throne. Many years ago, when I went for my youth service in the city of Kano, when I got to the orientation camp, a strange thing happened to me. When I collected my khaki, collected my crested vest, collected my jungle boot, I kept it by the side. By the time I came to retrieve it, I discovered my cargo was depleted. Amen. I found out I had no khaki there anymore. So I never wore khaki because I didn't have any. And among the items that got missing was a very critical piece. The meal ticket also vanished in the process. Hallelujah. The meal ticket. The meal ticket vanished. But I did not understand what was happening. I used political means to secure another meal ticket. I went to complain. The cooks now knew me. Like, oh, you are the one without meal ticket. Well, I did not know that God was actually calling me to a fast. Eventually, when I got into the city of Kano, it became obvious that it was time to fast. Those days, we had only two batches for NYSC. You were either in batch A or in batch B. Batch A started in January, and batch B started in July. So we were the batch for January. So it was very, very easy to keep track of how many months we had spent, because we came in January. So when we came out of the camp, I decided to go on a long fast. Too many evil things were happening to me in a short period of time. It was an indication that there was some form of warfare around. So I decided to go on a fast to seek the face of God. And when I began to fast and began to pray, the first month passed. I didn't receive any definite thing from God. I continued in the fast, began to pray. Second month passed, continued in the fast. Third month passed. I said, my God, we need to adjust something. So what we decided to adjust was that we added more prayer time. We used to do 4 hours of prayer with the fasting. We now increased the prayer time. We started going real, real long, praying for long hours, praying for long hours, praying for long hours. A time came, even though we were supposed to stop the fast, I just discovered that if I want to eat, it was as if I wanted to sing. So I continued in the fast, and I began to advance. I began to advance the fourth month came and went. The fifth month came and went. The sixth month came and went. And I ate once in a day. Sometimes I ate by 9 p.m. Sometimes I ate by 11 p.m. Sometimes I ate by 8 p.m. Sometimes I did not eat at all. I was lean like an AIDS victim. But my spirit was anointed. I kept the fast and I fasted. I continued fasting. We did 7 months of fasting. And when we got to the eighth month, it became a hobby. I could go on like that. In the eighth month, I was in my room, just came from work, because what I normally do, I was a teacher. So we closed from school, latest by 2 o'clock, and my house was not so far from where I was doing my primary assignment. So I come back home, take off my tie, and then I head for the mountains so that we can do the prayers for the day. And I just came back from work, you know, as the routine was, keep my tie down, keep my stuff down, get my Bible, and I'm ready to go. But that day, when I came into the room, kept my stuff down, kept my tie down, and I was about to take my Bible, a song came in the spirit, and it was so intense. So I now sang that song a little, and so I felt like kneeling down, you know? Hallelujah. I felt like kneeling down, and I knelt down by the side of my bed, and I began to worship. And the more I drew on that song, the more I was drawn into the spirit. I said, my God, what's happening? I drew on the song. I was drawn into the spirit. The third time, after drawing on the song, an angel came into my room. The whole atmosphere of the room changed. Place changed entirely. I drew on the song again, and I began to sense that the angels were many. I was detained in that room, I don't know for how many hours, but I was detained there. That happened for so many hours. I was released from detention very late that day. I went to trace my prayer group. They were about to round up. At least I rounded up prayers with them and came back to the room again. When I started giving thanks to God, I was detained again. My detention continued like that for a period of about 6 days. So the encounters continued. I could not fathom what was happening. But when I come into the room, I'm detained. When I draw on the song, my God, the atmosphere changes. Something about the room changes. And I'm detained. Discussing with God, and it's as if I just spent 5 minutes, but when I check the time, I've gone 4 hours. It was not normal. Hallelujah. I was detained. The first symptom that I discovered after my detention was that if I pray in the spirit, and I go high, and I utter something, it will come to pass. Now, you begin to discover yourself spiritually after you have been activated, after you have been quickened, and you begin to function in the spirit. You have to conduct a personal discovery of the potentials and the powers that God has made available to you. Now, the lady that was leading prayer said, God, and ye shall receive power. Now, what God does to you when you visit him often is that he shows you your horn. I'm coming. So I began to have these funny experiences. I could not understand what was happening. Until one of those days I came and I was detained again. And this time it was Jesus that showed up. And he said to me, he said, raise a crusade platform for me and I will begin to deliver these people. He just said it and he passed. Crusade platform in the city of Kano. Then you cannot hold a public air meeting in Kano, a Christian meeting in Kano, without the approval of the commissioner of police. And the place he was saying we should hold the crusade was in a barrack, police barrack. Raise a crusade platform for me and I will begin to deliver these people. I was not sure because fear now came. I went back. I said, sorry, what exactly did you say that time? And he spoke into my spirit again. Raise a crusade platform for me and I will begin to deliver these people. Those days our allowance was 7,500, our NYC allowance. Was 7K. Then 7,000 was big money. That was the money we used to get equipment, PA systems, speakers, in Bompai police barrack. And we set it up. We didn't seek for approval from anybody. They just saw some people mounting speakers. And I was right there on the mountain praying for money. And I was pushing the prayer. By 4 p.m., I felt the same presence I used to feel in my room. I felt it on the mountain. And the great one spoke again. Today, that I will raise a cripple. That was what he said. He said, today I will what? Oh, Jesus. And I went to wear my white suit. You know, don't wear your white suit quickly. Don't wear it quickly. Make sure you have heard from God. And I mounted that podium. I can never forget the message that I preached. Turning them from darkness to light. From the power of the devil unto the power of God. And I was on that platform. I didn't know that they sent police people to arrest me after that crusade. They were in the congregation. And you know what happened? There was a lady there that in their mommy market, that's the lady that sells beer, alcohol. She's crippled. And she says, there's no policeman that drinks that doesn't know the woman. I don't know how she was in that meeting because people will be knocking her door for beer. But surprisingly, the woman came for the crusade that day. And as I was preaching, something hit her from the back. I didn't even know that something hit her. And suddenly her legs straightened out.
And she took the first step. The policeman that was sent to pick me up was close to where she tried the leg.
The policeman went back to the person that sent him and said, they don't arrest this kind of people. This type, leave them. This type, if we take this one, we all have problems. Just any reason for which you wanted this man down, leave it. And the woman began to walk. Now, the woman did not walk because a great preacher came. That was the only way God could save me from the police. You know, he's the one that sent me to do the job. A messenger should not be held responsible for a message. He's merely trafficking the message. And so God had to do a suffering act on that ground to liberate me from the troubles that would have followed. It was a great moment. We celebrated many people. That night that I preached, 520 people gave their life to Christ. Many of them were Muslims. Many of them. It was a great revival. And we began to pray. And we began to pray. And people started coming for our prayer meetings in their numbers. And one night I came to lead prayer. I was just talking about the hand of God. And suddenly a woman in the congregation began to confess. He said, we are the ones that took your khaki. My khaki. My meal ticket. You know, we were taught in Bible school that when somebody is speaking under the influence of demons, make sure you shut the person up. But before I could do that, I heard about my khaki. Hallelujah. So, because of my khaki, we were angry and we casted out the spirit, all the spirit. And at the end of the deliverance exercise, we now began to interview the woman. And she revealed strange things. And she said that her own power is in her eyes. That when you come into the witchcraft world, they ask you where you want to deposit your power. You know, who led that prayer? The person was in the spirit. I wanted to gather scriptures. Your prayer, move it, move the script. Hallelujah. There are some things you cannot explain. It's by power. By power. It says some of them keep their power in the hand, but hers, she kept it where? In the eye. Now, you see, we are not the same. We are not the same. Turn your Bible quickly to the book of Psalms 92. 92, quickly. We are not the same. We are not the same. Every year, when we reach the 7th day of January, I remember my mission to Kano State for NYSC, and I give God glory. The things that happened to me in Kano are responsible for the things I'm doing today. It was on the 20th day of October, that same youth service year, that the Lord passed through my room again. And when he passed through, he said, what? Your place of primary assignment in ministry is Benue State. That's the first thing. He passed again. Then he said, I have prepared your wife and you will not miss her. He prepared the damsel. You know, you see, you will not. Hey, Jesus. Well, okay, let's leave that for another time. Oh, my God. Psalms 92. Verse 9. For lo, my enemies, O Lord, for lo, my enemies shall perish. All the workers of iniquity shall be scattered. But my horn shall thou exalt like the horn of a unicorn. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. When we are talking about enemies, you know, it started with, you say, oh, my enemies. My enemies shall perish, they shall be scattered. But my horn, how are the enemies going to perish? How are the enemies going to be scattered? What he's going to do is that he's going to exalt your horn. Now, you see, that witch said that her power was where? in her eyes. It means the way you are in the natural is different from how you are in the supernatural. For instance, this scripture is revealing that there is a horn that God will exalt. There is a horn you have. Meanwhile, in the natural, you don't seem to have a horn. It means how you look like supernaturally is quite different from how you look like naturally. When God comes in the issue that pertains to your enemies, if he wants to scatter your enemies and to make them perish, he does something to you. There is a horn he gives you. There is a horn that he exalts. And that horn is exalted when you are anointed with fresh oil. Now, let's go gradually. Hallelujah. But my horn shall thou what? Exalt like the horn of a unicorn. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. The witch said that their power, she kept it in the eyes. And anybody she looks at and they make eye to eye contact, she can afflict the person with sickness. And so when she came into the congregation, when she started hearing that I was becoming popular, there was one preacher becoming popular. So she became part of the fellowship. And there were three of them. They normally sit in the form of a triangle. If one sits in the front, one will sit this way, and the other one will sit this way. So they combine their power through telepathic means. And her, that has her power in the eyes, the only thing she has to do is to make sure that while I'm preaching, her eyes will just jump. Then she... My enemies. You know, David said, oh, my enemies. You know why he mentioned enemies twice? He was overwhelmed. But if God wants to deal with them, what he does is, my horn is what? There are different kinds of horns. You need to find the one you have. I don't have time today to do so much exposition out of love that deed. We make an attempt, if God will allow me, to show us different kinds of horns. Different kinds of horns. And when we talk about horns, we are not talking about the horn your ram has. The horn. Whenever you see horn in prophetic language, it is synonymous with authority. There is a part of you that God places authority. There is a part of your operation that is activated by God, that carries the authority of God. It means the horn of God is there. Are you with me? Now, there are several people. How many of you were lifted while the worship went on today? How many of you were lifted? You were lifted. Even though you did not plan to dance the way you dance, you saw there was a movement. It was not deliberate. You came comported, you came calculated, you wanted to preserve your delicate balance. But when these guys began to pour out incense, Jesus. You know what? They have a horn in that area. It's an ability of God. And when they begin to lift their voices, they have authority. The authority of God has been established in that area of their ministry. It's not everybody that can do this stuff. If we put you there, you might be confused. You might end up falling sick later. Because you... you don't have the ability to function there. But when enemies are in view, what God does to you is that he exalts your horn. So I didn't know I was coming against any enemy. I didn't know there was any plan. I didn't know there was anything happening. I was just coming to church. But you see, as I was meeting with Jesus, encountering Jesus, unknown to me, he was building a horn. It took me time to know where the horn was. It took me time to know where the horn was and then to maximize the potential of the horn. If you are not somebody that gets quickened again and again, and then when you are quickened, God uses you he uses you spiritually, you will not have enough experience in God to be able to know that, this area of my life is empowered by God. God has touched me in this area. Have some form of empowerment along this. Hallelujah. Took me some time. And I found out the abilities I had that the average Christian did not have. And I knew that those abilities were deliberate abilities forged into my life as weapons from whence I can launch from against the enemy. I did not know. Hallelujah. I did not know. For instance, it's very easy for me to enter into the spirit. Very easy. God gave me that ability. If I want to enter into the spirit now, just ask this man to begin to pray. But if he starts praying now, this service will end. I will not be able to preach again. Because the power of God will come here. I did not know that ability. And those days when we're growing up in the Lord, if you want to prophesy, they say, oh! Meanwhile, the thing is inside of my stomach. Something is, there's an utterance breaking out. They say, Kai, you want to distort the order. Hallelujah. So there was no way I could grow like that in the congregation. But I had a bedroom that was not under the control of the congregation. And in that my bedroom, Jesus was coming and he would pass. And I saw many things in my bedroom that I could not explain. Encounters from God. But when we come to church, we just sit down and say, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. We'll do that one for some time. But when we get out and we begin to pray, Jesus comes down. So I wanted to find out, why is he coming down? Until he spoke to me that day and said, raise a crusade platform in this place and I will begin to deliver these people. Oh my. You know what happened? There's a mad woman that used to go around the barrack, very violent. And when she came, she was marching into the crusade ground. The ushers, when they saw her, they ran away. Because when she sees you, she welcomes you with a... She's very strong. She welcomes you with a slap. Very strong. So the ushers gave way. And they were filming the thing. They were filming that day of the crusade. They didn't film the first day. They didn't film. But the last day, they brought camera. Instead of people to stop this woman from coming to the pulpit, the ushers have run away. So what is left? And the man with the camera was interested in the movement. And guess what? When she showed up and she came to the pulpit, she greeted me with that slap. Oh my Yakuma. If you don't have a horn at that time, I advise you. If you don't have a way to command deliverances unto Jacob, that's not a good place to be. So I was forced to find my horn, my weapon. Because the man that was videoing was interested in the outcome. Am I here to come in? I had to look for my weapon. That's not where you now say, Lord, take me out. Don't sing that one there. Alakoma. And when I began to pray and began to pray and began to pray and I called on the Holy Spirit, the woman was lifted from the ground, thrown far away, and then she slept there. She was there. So we continued our service. You know what? That was not all. When we finished the service, we went to revive her, and she was in her right mind. Her father was a staunch Muslim. He came to me, this mommy. You know, as I'm small now, then I was small. The man came in the night to give me money. That he is contributing to our crusade. Crusade has finished. Oh my God. It was from that day miracles began to break out. Miracles began to break out from that day. I saw a woman, I was passing somewhere in Kano, and they said, hey, evangelist, come. So I came. And the woman said, thank God, I've been praying, waiting for you. Meanwhile, that time I was no longer in Kano. I was working in Abuja. I just came back to pack my remaining load. And I was passing. The woman said she had been praying that evangelist would come. I've been praying for you to come. Eh? What's the problem? She took me to the room. Her daughter is crippled. Jesus. I spoke in tongues. I passed. And Jesus passed again. And he told me, smite her 3 times. I called the mother. I said, believe me. Will you believe me? She said, yes. Yeah. The place that is dead is here. Oya, take your daughter, slap her. Shake me. Oya, slap her 3 times on the back. When she did that, I raised the lady and she began to walk. Me and her started walking. And then God now gave me more insight that there are witches there. They use her to ride like a vehicle. That's how she became like that. You see, I'm not saying whether you are ready for battle. I'm saying there's a battle already. That's what I'm saying. And the reason why babies died in Ramah is because there were babies at the time of battle. The victims of warfare are people that are children in the day of war. From that day, when I started seeing, I will pray for somebody that is afflicted, God will heal the person. I say, no, the devil is not in control. There's nothing you can do to me to make me exalt the devil, to make me even remember him. This became my disposition when I discovered that God did not leave us without a weapon. He gave us a horn. My horn shall thou exalt like the horn of a unicorn. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Hallelujah. So I now began to search to find out what are the horns that are available. One of them is, for me, when the anointing begins to come, it's easy for me to access the mind of God. Because I know that the source of power is in accessing the mind of God. And once I access the mind of God, that is okay. God will do what he has said. Second thing is that when I move high in the spirit, God will put a word in my mouth to speak. And when I speak that word goes with power. Hallelujah. So I had to develop this. I developed it. So before I come out, I will pray and receive that word. That word that I will speak, that will travel with power. I don't come out until I have it. And just in case, maybe I'm praying, the meeting is about to end, and the thing is not coming. When I come to the pulpit, I will beg him, you know, if you don't reveal that thing, there will be a problem. So, help. Then I'll be talking. All the talk I'm talking is nothing. What I'm waiting for is help. Because I know where the horn is. My horn shall what? Thou exalt. The kind of weapons God gives you is related to the kind of assignment that you have. I will use 15 minutes to show you. Actually, there are 7 kinds of special men. 7 kinds of special people that God has in his infantry. 7 kinds of special people. I don't know if God will allow me to do this one. Hallelujah. All right, let's try for 15 minutes. Let's do Bible study for 15 minutes. I will show you one of the kind. The kind of authority you have is dependent on the kind of person that you are. We cannot have the same kind of gift. We cannot have the same kind of strength. There are differences, different callings, different ministries, different kinds of people, different kinds of assignment. And God gives you the empowerment that is required for your assignment. Hallelujah. Now let's do Bible study. We'll start from the book of Genesis chapter 2. We're going to study that man, Adam. And you know, the study that we are doing, the study we are trying to conduct here, is a study that will give us insight into our immortal dimensions. I'm not trying to confuse you with English. What I mean by that is, in the natural, I don't have a horn. But in the supernatural, I do. So I want to give you access into the understanding of our immortal dimensions. Those supernatural dimensions that we carry, that we are not aware of. Hallelujah. You will find evil people everywhere, scheming evil things, trying to manipulate and trying to do evil stuff. There is a way to combat it. Have you heard somebody say, if you go and come back, then I'm not the son of my father? I defied them. I went and came back. What is the meaning of that? It means he's not the son of his father. Human beings boast from the source of their reference. You know, the Bible says some may trust in chariots. Others may trust in what? In horses. But we will trust in the name of the Lord our God. We go to preach in different places, destroy shrines and all of that. We'll come back. My friend, that we normally preach together. He comes back and he's sick. He said, they have attacked him. Ah, attacked you? Is it not me and you that went? Okay. We'll go again. The other day, we were praying for crusade. That crusade that I spoke about, he preached on the first night. We were praying for the crusade. Prayed. He went to the office. When he went to the office, a mad woman. His office is upstairs, not downstairs. So you have to navigate through a stairway to arrive at his office. So the mad woman located the stairway and navigated successfully and came upstairs and went to his desk and stabbed him with that bottle and said, now you know the hereba. So my friend ran away. He didn't come for the crusade. He came many, many weeks later. And he said, bro, the devil came. I said, what contract do you have with the devil? You know what? If you don't have a horn, when you follow people to do things against the devil, he will leave people that have horn. And then you without horn, all the burden will come to you. My horn, what shall thou accept? All right, let's do Bible study. Genesis chapter 2. We'll just do the Bible study for... I don't want to talk for too long tonight. I want us to pray for too long, not to talk for too long. But listen to me, before the end of this meeting, this night. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Some of you will receive weapons from God.
Amen.
Now, it's not a prayer point. It's a promise. You know, when you hear 9 o'clock news, you don't say amen. Do you say amen?
No.
All right. So you don't need to say amen for this. I'm just casting news now. Many of you receive weapons this night. Leave the amen. Weapons. It will happen. It will happen this night. Weapons from heaven. All kinds of weapons. So that you go back to the same place you ran away from and you stand your ground. I say, if the devil is still alive, show up. It's time for us to finish what we started. You know, in our land, where I'm from, there's a particular place. There's somebody I'm seeing that is from there, so I won't mention the name. That place is a strange place, a terrible place. That local government. So we finished a meeting like this. When we finished, we said, Kai, let's visit that local government. So we now went there. We say we will not pray in the morning. Let's pray in the night, 12 midnight. Is that not the time that they say witches walk? Say, all right, we wake up by 12. So we slept. 12 midnight, we woke up. Woke up and we began to pray. And one of my friends had a shofar from Israel. You know what a shofar is? The one they blew to call prayers in those days in Israel. So when we pray, he blows it. We pray, he will blow it. And he says, God told him to blow 12 times. I said, oh my, have your way. He will pray, we'll blow it. By the time we went the sixth time, witches didn't come out that night. So by 7 o'clock in the morning, the woman that they say was sick in the house, we went to her room. I said, woman, because while we're praying, I saw her. I saw that the tide, she was carrying sacks on her body, full of sand. They will put a nail here, hang a sack, and then they'll fill the sack with sand. Fill the sack. So she was just carrying extra weight. So I went to her, I said, you're carrying weight. So we offload the weight, and we began to pray and offload the weight. And you know, this woman that had been sick since the 80s, he has not been well since the 80s. Yes, we prayed that prayer and left. And the news came to us that woman doesn't fall sick again. The weights were what? Who told you that the devil is in control? No, you have not seen God. That's why you have exalted the devil so much. It is our calling as a generation to put the armies of the aliens to flight. To quench the violence of fire. To stop the mouth of liars. The old man became who? And the person telling me that the person we are talking about became who is a medical practitioner. So I'm not telling you medical practitioner. She became whole. We blew those trumpets. We have gone to places, prayed. They said women don't marry there after the prayer. My horn shall what? Ah, exalt. We went to a particular place. Those places that if you are a herbalist in the shrine and you die, they'll bury you in the shrine. So you can count how many people have served in the shrine. And the thing, do you know what I'm talking about? They bury them there. So you will see one circle. That circle is one grave. So count it. You can count, if you count all the circles there, 27. So 27 chief priests have been in that altar. It is 27 generations old. Hallelujah. Amen. And we go there to pray. After praying, I say, oh, the life of the man in that shrine is not safe. And we left. And he went to consult, he died there. My horn shall thou. Now, just in case there is an orchestration of darkness that is haunting people, killing the young people, wasting their lives, making them vagabonds. As we pray tonight, don't keep quiet. You represent your constituency. We'll send the power of God to that place. God is not a respecter of space and time. That's not a limitation to him. We'll send the word of God to that place tonight. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Did we pray for the man to die? We didn't pray for him to die. We just sanitized the place and planted the presence of God there. Then when we were leaving, the knowledge came. His life is not safe. And we went. He fell there. So they had to dig another grave. So it became 28. We went to my own village. We now prayed there and said, anybody that is doing this, serving the devil here and bringing altars, shrine here, consulting the devil. Since we have dedicated this house to God, if you do such things again, you'll be judged. They thought we were playing. Somebody went and did something the night. He didn't see the next day. Even the witch there had to. He started going to a church. Started going to church. See, now we worship God. We worship God. It's not by choice. So it was by compulsion. Because something was at work that was deadly. Even an evil man will change when he knows there's danger. Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come on you. Christianity without power is risky. Because the evil men are increasing. Anytime you see that there's poverty, like the economy is not working, people have gone to sign up with Satan. Their number has increased. And the people of God must realize where their home is. Because that is what scatters the intentions of the enemy. Now, listen to me. Genesis 2. I talk for 15 minutes, then we'll start to pray together. I don't hope to take your time today. But today is a day of weapons. There'll be weapons. There'll be weapons from God. Weapons today. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 15, a description of the assignment of that personality called Adam was given. The Bible says, "Son Adam, and God, and the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it." Now, please, I would like you to identify the dual role of that man, Adam. He is to dress the garden. And the word, the Hebrew word for dress there is to improve the garden. So he is supposed to be part, a co-laborer with God to improve what God has created. Secondly, he was also supposed to keep the garden. Now that is military. That's a military assignment. He was to dress the garden. And he was also to keep the garden. Now, the reason for which he was given this assignment was because of something critical. Hallelujah. Amen. I don't have time to push the scriptures. Okay, let me try. Can you jump to Genesis chapter 2, verse 1? Genesis chapter 2, verse 1. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. Chapter, verse 3. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. I don't have time to tell you the difference between the things that God created and the things that God made. That's not for this time. These are the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created, in the day that the Lord made earth and heaven. Now, this is the scripture. No, stay there. That is the scripture of interest. Now, there are two things about that scripture that I need to bring to our notice quickly. Then you'll be able to understand the assignment of Adam as one assigned to dress and one assigned to keep. My emphasis for tonight is his assignment as a keeper, not his assignment as a dresser. Are you still with me? Now, the thing I want to draw your attention to in that scripture is the use of the word generations. These are the generations. Because if you understand where we are and what this scripture is talking about, it's talking about the record of creation. Now, at this time, there was nothing like a generation. This is the inauguration. So the word generation is not supposed to be used at this point in time. Are you with me? Do you follow my argument? Now, that is because of that controversy that we'll need to probe into the linguistic perspective, so that we can get the original language that was written there, the original word that was written there, that was translated by the scholars to be generations in English language. Meanwhile, English language, I need you to understand, is not a language with so much capacity. Are you with me? Stay with me, please. Stay with me. English language does not have so much capacity. Now, if you are translating, now, for instance, Yoruba language has more capacity than English language. Greek language has more capacity than English language. You know, in Greek language, like I said the other day, there are four words for power: dunamis, kratos, iskos, energesis or energesia. Those are four words for power. They don't mean the same thing. Are you with me? But the English doesn't have all those assortments of words for power. It only has power. And so if it's iskus that is there, English will say power. If it's dunamis that is there, English will say power. So a lot is lost in transit as you translate. In order for us to stage a recovery, to get the original meaning, we must apply the linguistic approach. Is that clear? And I'm not trying to be intellectual. I'm just trying to be faithful to the biblical text. Hallelujah. For instance, in Greek language, we have two words for time. We have Kairos time, which is the opportune time. We have Chronos time, which is the chronological time. Are you with me? For those of us that attended boarding schools, I know some of you did not, but we did. Some of us did. Dining time then was when? Don't forget the 6 o'clock. That's the golden, it's the universal time for dining. Oh my. Now, that 6 o'clock is Kairos time. That's the opportune time. That's the harvest time. For any reason why you are not there at the Kairos time, you will miss the opportunity. That opportunity is not open every time. You understand what I'm talking about? Every build-up of time towards the Kairos moment is Chronos time. That is chronological time. But the Kairos time talks about the opportune time. So there are two words for time in the Greek language. For instance, in the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, when you read, redeeming the time, that word there is Kairos. Redeeming the Kairos, because the days are evil. Now, he didn't say redeeming the Chronos. You don't need to redeem the Chronos.
But this opportune time, the devil knows all your effort will be realized in this window. So he contends with you for this window. Oh, you are not with me. Well, I don't have time. You see, I'm pressed for time. So he will contend for that window. That's the window that demons will contend for. Because they know that if you go to farm and you plant corn, it takes 4 months for corn to mature. All the 4 months, chronos time, you are investing, you are fertilizing, you are weeding, you are laboring, and you can't take anything home. If after 2 weeks of your planting, you go to the farm and cry and say, I need corn, the farm can't deliver it because it's not Kairos time. You are still in the chronos. But all of your effort for the past 4 months will be realized in 1 week. That is the harvest time. It is that window that demons will contend for. So you have to redeem the Kairos. Why? Because the days are... You are following me? This is a good class today. Hallelujah. Now, so English language is weak. A lot was lost in transit when translation was done. The word translated generation there in the basic lexicon is tolida. Tolida. Tolida means to give birth to. It means to produce an offspring. Are you with me? To give birth to something, to produce what? An offspring. And so we need to go back to that scripture and bring that ideology into that context. In that context, the account of creation was captured. And the Bible was talking about the creation of the heavens. This is the generation of the creation of the earth. When they were created, in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heaven. Now, that word is trying to show us the relationship that exists between the earth and the heaven. He's saying one of these realms, are you with me? Yeah. One of these realms, Tolida, the second realm. Now, the earth, the physical realm, was given birth to, from the spiritual realm. That's why that word was used. Now, let me prove it from other scriptures in the Bible that this, my statement, is true. That this physical realm is a derived realm. This physical realm came from an invincible realm. The implication of that is, if we want to change this physical realm, are you with me? Oh my God, this, my class, is noisy again. Please don't allow those children make noise. Take them to their class. Take them. I appreciate them. God bless them. But take them right there. Amen. Those things they are saying is not prayer. It will be prayer in their room, but not here. Now, listen, stay with me. Take that child out. Take. Children, teachers, arrest that situation, please. Stay with me. Are you here? Now, listen. The scripture is saying that the natural creation is a product of the invincible creation. It was derived from the invincible creation. The implication of that, if my assertion is true, is this. If you want to change the visible creation, you need to go into the invincible. That's where the source of this visible creation is. Oh my, okay. Now, let me prove that what I said is right first, before we go further. Romans chapter 1, quickly. Let me prove that the visible creation is a derived creation. It's a derived creation. It derives from the invincible creation. What the herbalist in your village knows is that this physical creation is a derived creation. So what he does is that he goes into the invisible realm and occasions a change there. You know what? When that change is occasioned in the invisible realm, it will manifest in the... It doesn't have a choice. That is how the design is. Totally that. The physical realm is an offspring of the invisible. Now watch. A lot is dependent on that. Romans chapter 1, quickly. Let's prove that point first. Romans chapter 1.
verse 18 and 19. No, let's not read too much. Romans 1:20. Now I need a very simple translation of the Bible. Who has any other version that is not King James, please? What? Your own is NIV. New King James. This one is still complex. Okay, let's start with NIV. Good News Version. Romans chapter 1, verse 20. Yes, what does NIV say there? Wait. We need to put it on tape. So your reading too should enter the tape. They'll give you a microphone now. All right. What version is that, please? Okay, good. For since the creation of the world, God's invincible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, is clearly seen,
being understood from what has been made.
Now, see, the eternal power of God, God's Godhead, is clearly seen and understood from that which is made. Are you with me?
So that people...
Wait. You are reading like a novel. That's the book of life. Listen. See what you are reading. What you are reading is that God's eternal power, the invincible things that are of God, alright, are clearly illustrated by the things that are seen. Even God's eternal power and his Godhead is illustrated by the things that are seen, so that no mortal will have an excuse. That's what that scripture is saying. Any other version? Okay, good news. Please go up there. Good news. Let's take good news.
Ever since God created the world, His invisible qualities, both His eternal power, and his divine nature
have been clearly seen. How
they are perceived in the things that God has made
this is telling us about the invisible and the visible realm. Go on.
So those people have no excuse.
They have no excuse
at all.
And listen, he's saying that God's eternal power, God's invisible nature, the things that are shut up in the invisible realm, are clearly seen from the things that are made. How can they be seen from the things that are made if they don't have any relationship and any correlation? So the physical realm is an illustration of the invisible realm, because the physical realm was derived from the invisible realm. That's one proof. I can show you other proofs, but I'm constrained for time. Are you okay with that, or should we go on the ride? All right. Hallelujah. Now listen. If it is true that the physical realm is a derivative of the spiritual realm, it means that a man that understands the spiritual realm is ahead of a man that does not. Because this spiritual man will go into the invisible, and he will orchestrate a condition in that invisible that will take effect in the visible. The visible realm is a slave to the orientation that finds expression in the invisible realm. Are you with me? Did you get it to that point? All right. Now, so what happened was that at this time, in the invisible realm, Satan had rebelled against God. So God came into the garden and met Adam, and said, your assignment is to dress the garden and to keep it. He didn't tell Adam why he was giving him that mandate. But you see, because of the way the invisible and the visible realm were created, that which has taken place in the invisible will inevitably manifest in the visible. And God was expecting Adam to be the gatekeeper of the visible, physical corridor, to stop that thing that was coming from the invisible realm from implementing his policy in the physical. So Adam had the status of a guardian, the first special messenger of among men. The first is the guardian. The guardian
is that personality that God puts in the borderline between the invisible and the visible, and gives him a mandate to stop an invisible occurrence from coming into the visible realm. Are you with me? And there are several weapons that a guardian needs to carry out his assignment effectively. And if you are that guardian that God has raised, I'm going to show you that the time that Adam failed in his duty as a guardian, when God casted him out of the Garden of Eden, the angel that was summoned from heaven to come and temporarily take Adam's place was a guardian too. Yes. Yes. Because the natural realm was supposed to be an illustration of the supernatural realm. So there are angelic entities in the realm of God that play the role of guardianship. It was one of them that was deployed into the physical realm to be a guardian that will block the pathway to the tree of life, so that Adam would not have access to the tree of life and eat of it and become eternally damned. It was a guardian that was sent down, and he blocked the path to the tree of life. And there was a sword that was released from the heavens that could cut in any direction. These are swords and weapons of guardianship. Those are the kind of swords that Adam was supposed to have access to when he deploys his office as a guardian. But Adam did not understand what was happening. Just like many of you, you do not understand the warfare that is in your household. You are just there. Say, I just came back from Oxford. I have a master's degree. I've been in Oxford for a long time. And, you know, right there in Oxford, the thing that is coming from the spirit realm will catch you in Oxford. There are many families that are bereaved of guidance. And so when evil is about to strike, there's no guidance that can monitor the movement in the supernatural that is seeking expression in the natural. Adam was called to dress the garden. And to what? And to keep it. I don't have time. I don't have time to take you to the book of Matthew. I don't have time. I don't have time. My time is almost up. I would have taken you to that parable, the parable of the sower. You know, Jesus, you know, they came and told him, they say, while men slept, an enemy. I hope you will realize the men had to sleep before that enemy showed up. You are not with me. Wait. Hold on. A lot of metaphors. Okay, let's try. Yes, you. There are seven special men. If we have up to 26 guardians in Benue State, the borders of Benue State will be secure. When you hear that all massacres took place in Angatu, when you hear that there's invasion from Fulani people, it is an indication, a clear-cut indication that the land lacks guardianship. And we are in the church every Sunday. Ba 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 ba. But nobody has a horn. Men with horns are lacking. But we are there saying, how useful are we to God? How useful are we to God? How useful are we to God? And we are there singing, our sons and daughters are slaughtered. Did you see the pictures on Facebook? It was a sign that darkness passed through our territory. Meanwhile, the Bible reveals that when Samuel was still alive, as long as he was alive, the hostile Philistines were kept in check. He was a guardian. They knew what would befall them if they attempted. Yeah, so they are sure of it. Their idol, their combo, has given them insight. As long as that man is still alive, hold your peace. No need. The spirit of the guardian is still alive. There was the territorial integrity was kept under acute check as Samuel lived. There are several anointings you can carry. That the demons that have been troubling the family will go on sabbatical. They say, no, if she's still alive, the spirit of guardianship works in her. There is a sword that can cut in any direction, she alone can wield it. And if she decides to wield it in the night, the havoc that is created in the kingdom of darkness is great havoc. It will take us time to rebuild. So let us not instigate a battle now. Let's go on break. Let's look for other assignments to do. The guardian has secured the territory. And God came to Adam and said to him, your lot and your portion is that you will dress the garden and you will keep it. But it came to pass, when the garden was invaded, Satan did not come like a creature with horns. He possessed a serpent and he crawled in. And the great guardian could not see the enemy because he crawled in. I am praying tonight that God will open our eyes. You know, those days in Abuja, they promoted my sister's husband. And the government gave an allowance that a house help, a cook that the government will pay for, pay salary to, should be taking care of the kitchen. They have never experienced that kind of loss. Will we have cook? Hey, glory! And they went shopping for a cook. And they got a cook. When they got that cook, those were the days of my fasting in Kano. I felt there was danger in my sister's house. And I took a car Sunday night. And I landed home with prayers. With prayers. And the cook was the one that came to open the door. When she saw me, she packed the next morning. Say, my sister said, did we offend you? I said, no. They offend me. But I must go. What happened? No, nothing happened. But what? I knew the thing that happened. I was in my chambers. Then my sister now came. I said, why is it that it's when you came, our house helped? She had been helping me. She had been helping. I said, see you, sit down. You have a serpent in your house. I had seen you. This your, you would have lost this your home. You don't know what's happening. Sit down here. And then her eyes were open. Because when she came, she blotted out the eyes. There was no seer left. You that you are here, that you used to see things when you pray, that you have been made blind. You didn't know, you have no idea that it was a battle. Blotted out your eyes. As long as you are blind and you know have no ability to see, Satan can come in and out, snatch people, do all kinds of stuff just because there's no guide there. And Adam was to dress the garden and what? To keep it. Who keeps your garden? Hallelujah. There were many metaphors written in that scripture. He said this, there were servants there. You know, in I don't have time, we can't read it. Jesus interpreted everything in that scripture. But Jesus never interpreted who the servants were. Servants. And Jesus never interpreted who the men that slept were. He interpreted every other thing. He left this to. He left it so that me and you can ponder. The men that slept, that gave the enemy an occasion to come, they were the guardians. There are not many in a city. There are not many in the nation. But when the guardians sleep, the population is exposed to a kind of vengeance from the kingdom of darkness that they have never known before. The guardians slept. While men slept, an enemy came. That's the first. The guardian. He stands in the border between the politics happening in the invisible realm. And he's the gatekeeper of the visible realm. He's posted there with weapons to preserve territorial integrity. That you can roam out anywhere, but this place, you can't enter. If the devil knows that the guardian is situated properly, he won't even make any attempt. Because he knows that's the horn he has been given. The second special messenger is the watchman. They are watchmen in the spirit. They are angelic watchmen that watch over nations. And they are also physical watchmen in the natural that watch over families, watch over communities, and watch over cities. Why do you think if any evil thing wants to happen in your family, you will dream about it? The powers, the watchmen are given revelatory powers and weapons to see what is about to happen.
Most of you dream those dreams and say, I cancel the blood of Jesus. I cancel blood of Jesus. As you are saying blood of Jesus, you are asleep. Meanwhile, the power of the watchman is his ability to see danger come. And if he cannot stop the danger, he will warn the people. And because of this, he's given the powers of sight and vision in the spirit. The church is not a weak, it's not supposed to be a weak entity. We are not supposed to be weak people. That's not our calling. There are enough resources that God has made available for us to work with. I'm going to stop my Bible study here. I would have continued to show you the custodian, the ones that hold the secrets of the foundation of nations, the people that walk with the angel of the land, the angel of the nation. They are also very few. Those ones, they will not see death until the things that God has spoken to them comes to pass. Even the powers of death are kept at bay as long as the custodians are still alive. Oh my. Oh Father. The Father must help us. The Father must help us. These are special messengers. Special messengers. Set up by God in territories so that the devil will not be able to encroach. The custodians are keepers of secrets, like Simeon. Simeon, when Jesus was brought to the temple for dedication, the man said, "Oh, now let test thy servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen the salvation which thou hast prepared before the face of all people." He prayed to die, death didn't come. He was tired of life, there was no death. The reason why death could not come was because he was in custody of a secret about the layout, the destiny of her people. He said, "My eyes have seen it." Custodians are kept because of secrets that they carry in their heart. They share secrets with God. These are men that God must talk to before he does anything in the land. He must talk to them. For the Lord indeed can do nothing except he reveals it to his servants, the prophets. He is not any kind of prophet, he is a prophet that is in active service. May the Lord give you understanding. The ones were in active service. He normally comes to share secrets so that there can be witnesses. It is the accumulation of these secrets that keeps them even in danger. 1,000 can fall by their side, 10,000 by their right hand, because they keep secrets. Nothing comes. There are preservations and preservatives in the spirit made available for them because of the strategic nature of the assignment. We have the psalmist. The psalmist, the one that has the capacity to travel into heaven and to pick the song that is sung on Mount Zion. When the psalmist begins to sing his song, the angels that worship in Zion begin to troop into the earth, and there's a massive reinforcement of the armies of the earth just because of the sound of the psalmist. David, the sweet psalmist of Israel. I hope you know, when an evil spirit came from the Lord and possessed Saul, it was by the strength of his music that the spirits were kept at bay. Give me volume there. Give him. Hey! See, my horn shall thou exalt. I don't know if you have been able to discover yourself in the economy of God, but we can no longer continue without warriors in the body of Christ, without people that have access to weapons in the body of Christ. The time has come for that horn to be exalted. And because of that, God will have to anoint you with fresh oil.